Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochem Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Chof Ches, Omed Aleph, we will notice a triangle surrounding Rav Huna's name. This triangle is part of a series that we began at the end of our previous shiur. In order to get into the topic, being that some of you are tuning in for the first time, it's necessary to digress a bit and just mention that the Mishnah that was found at the bottom of Chof Zayin on Beis featured halachas concerning pigul or psul as a result of a machshava. If while the person shechting the korban had an intention concerning incorrect time or place, that will serve to ruin the korban. In the case of incorrect time, it actually creates a severe penalty if one were to eat that meat, the meat of that korban, a kores penalty. The sugya that we are in the middle of right now concerns an example cited in the Mishnah whereby one slaughtered a sacrifice with the intention of eating a kezias, an olive quantity. That means a quantity of something the size of an olive, in this case a quantity of or ho'alya. Or ho'alya is the skin that surrounds the tail of the korban. In general, there is a special tail in the case of a sheep, special in the sense that not only anatomically is it very interesting, but the fat contained within the tail, namely there's a skin, outer skin covering, and within that is a fatty substance. That's called the alya, and that's offered in the case of sacrifices of a sheep. That's offered on the mizbech. That's offered to burnt on the altar of the Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah spoke about one who has intentions concerning the eating of the skin surrounding the alya, the outer skin covering of that fat tail. The explanation we're giving right now is a little bit biased or prejudiced, if you will, because there is another situation of a tail, and that's in the case of a goat offering. It also has a tail. However, its tail is not offered at all on the Mizbech. The idea of a tail being offered as part of the different innards of a korban, that applies specifically to a keves, to a sheep. Everything we've said is by way of background for information that we'll see later in the sugya. The Mishnah's example was one who slaughters the animal with the intention of eating a kezias of the or of the skin that surrounds the alya outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or after the time of the correct time for consuming a korban lapses. The first the assumption the Gemara made when it opened the sugya, and this is what we were discussing at the conclusion of our previous shiur, the assumption that was made by the Gemara was that the skin of the alya has the same status as the fat it contained within it, namely the alya itself. And if that be the case, the alya, we're assuming we're talking about a sheep offering, the alya is offered on the Mizbeach, therefore one would expect the skin to be offered on the Mizbeach as well. The only problem with that is that when I think while sacrificing the korban, I have this improper thought concerning the personal, the human eating of the skin of the alya. In effect, I'm thinking about my eating of something that ordinarily would go on the Mizbeach. Is that considered a type of thought that would have consequence, would be of a binding nature would have a halachic effect, in this case in ruining the korban? Or is it conceivably a non-thought, basically because of its somewhat ridiculous nature, that I have an intention of eating something that I ought not, that I am not designed to eat, namely that is not designed for a person for personal consumption, but rather it should have been offered on the Mizbeach? The first approach to this issue was in the name of Shmuel, and you can see his name is triangled, the second line from the top, he being the first of three approaches to understanding the Mishnah in this example, the issue concerning the Or HaAlyo. Shmuel says that our Mishnah is taught in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that that kind of thought is of a binding nature. I would like to use the word legitimate nature, but we're talking about something that's essentially a sin. So the question is the thought that I have of consequence? Will it be of a binding or consequential nature? So according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is taught in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that one who thinks concerning that which is consumed by the Mizbeach for human consumption, in other words, I call it cross-thinking, where he thinks concerning that which is defined as achilas Mizbeach, something that ought to be put on the fire, and he thinks about eating it himself at the either wrong time or wrong place. That's called mechashvin me'achilas Mizbeach l'achilas Adam. And likewise, me'achilas Adam l'achilas Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if a person thought about, let's say, offering a piece of meat that ordinarily would be eaten, but he plans to offer it on the Mizbeach, or outside the Beis HaMikdash, or at the wrong time, that's me'achilas Adam le'achilas Mizbeach, that too would be of a binding nature, or of consequence. Continuing in our Gemara, where our Shir picks up today, from Rav Huna Omar, Or Alyo Lav Ke Alyo Domi. The skin of the Alyo is not considered like the Alyo itself. And in fact, it's something that we would not offer on the Mizbeach. One would eat that. And furthermore, one is not Mechashev Me'achilas Odom L'achilas Mizbeach. In other words, it's kind of cross-thinking, thinking concerning that which is designed for human eating and thinking about offering it on the Mizbeach, or that which would ordinarily be offered on the Mizbeach and think about it for eating, that type of machshava would not be binding. So what in effect is Rav Huna's explanation of the Mishnah? It's actually very straightforward. First of all, we ought to note that Rav Huna holds that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer, but rather the Rabbonon. And what is he thinking about? He's thinking about the Or HaAlyo, which is something that a person eats anyway. So the Mishnah is describing a case of a person who thinks to eat from the Or HaAlyo, either outside the Beis HaMikdash or outside, let's be more general, outside its proper location, or at the wrong time, after the korban time lapses, the time designed for eating the korban. Omar Rova, my taima de Rav Huna, what is the basis of Rav Huna's conclusion that the skin of the Alya does not have the din of the Alya itself? The answer is based on a posuk, chel bo ha'alya. The posuk expects one to offer the fat of the tail, velo or ha'alya, not the skin around it. Rav Chista Omar, le'olam or ha'alya ke'alya. The skin of the Alya has the din of the Alya. If that's the case, what about the issue? If the skin of the Alya is the din of the Alya, then are you telling me that it's supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach? And if that's the case, if one thinks about eating it himself, is he thinking about that which is for the Mizbeach, and he has a thought concerning his own eating of it? But yet, Rav Chista is not learning like Shmuel. Rav Chista is explaining that the Mishnah is according to the Rabbonan. So how is it possible that you can have a situation of Or HaAlyo like the Alyo, and yet have a thought concerning eating the Or HaAlyo, and it's a consequential improper thought? and once again, and not learn according to Rabbi Eliezer? The answer is very simple. V'hocha b'mayaskinon, the Mishnah is talking about bi'alyo shel gedi, the tail of a goat. Now, the tail of the goat is not offered on the Mizbeach whatsoever. The tail of the goat is categorized as achilas odom. So he has a straightforward thought, and not a cross-thinking. He has a straightforward thought concerning that which is designed for human consumption, to eat it, however, at the wrong time or wrong place. As the Gemara goes on, we go over now the three shitas that we saw in explaining the Mishnah, and the Gemara queries why each one did not learn like the other. Kulhu kishmuel lo amri, they all did not learn like Shmuel, who was, you can see the second line from the top, we've featured a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in order to make it easier to find where Shmuel was located, and that's accomplished by scanning to find a parallel arrow, and you see that, the second line from the top. So the Gemara is pointing out that the other shitas, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, did not learn like Shmuel, because Reisha Rebelozer v'Sefer Rabbanan lo mukmi. According to the way Shmuel learned the Mishnah, we were forced to say that the Mishnah is the Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah on the bottom of Chof Zayin, and the next Mishnah, which is called the Sefer, the second part of the same Mishnah, but it appears on Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis. We were forced to say that the Reisha is authored by one Tana and the Sefer authored by another Tana, and that's, generally speaking, not the smoothest way of learning Mishnayos. So the other Shitas did not learn like Shmuel because of this consideration of having to set up the Mishnah, the Reisha being according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Seif according to the Rabbanan. So lo mukmi means they do not like to establish or set up Mishnayos in that fashion. Therefore, the other Shitas, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, opted to learn that our Mishnah Chof Zayin Amud Beis is according to the Rabbanan. We just might remind ourselves when we say according to Rabbanan, it's the Rabbanan that argue on Rebbe Eliezer that hold Ein Mechashvin Me Achilas Odom Lachilas Mizbeach Umeachilas Mizbeach Lachilas Odom. Kerav Huna Lo Amri, namely Shmuel and Rav Chisda did not learn like Rav Huna, or Alyo Ke Alyo Domi Komash Malahu. They hold that the skin of the Alyo has a din of the Alyo. Rav Huna, as you may recall, said the Or Alyo is not like the Alyo. So they disagree with him, and therefore they didn't adopt Rav Huna's approach to the Mishnah. Kerav Chisda, Mai Taima Lo Amri. Why did the other Shitas not opt to learn like Rav Chisda? Mai Komash Malon. Because according to Rav Chisda, what would our Mishnah be left to teach? If it's teaching that if we're talking about the Alya of a Gedi, like Rav Chisda said, Mai Komash Malon, or Alya Ke Alya Domi, is he teaching me that the skin of the Alya is like the Alya itself? Tanina, we have another source in Shas that teaches that idea, and this source concerns Tumas Nevelos. This is the ritual impurity imparted by a dead animal. And it says that, and we know, let us say by way of background, that when we talk about a dead animal, not every part of the dead animal conveys Tumah. For example, the horns of a dead animal would not convey tumah. However, what is the din regarding the skin of the dead animal? So the source says, the elu she'orosein kibesoran. The following, we say that the skin is like the meat. Now, the meat of a dead animal conveys tumas nevela. The following, skin, also will have the din, have the halachic status of the meat. Or shetachas ha'alya, the skin that is under the tail. So here we have another Tanaic source that says that the or ho'alyo is like the alyo. What then do I need, what would I need our Mishnah for? And that's the question that's raised on Rav Chisda's approach. In other words, Rav Chisda's approach to the Mishnah doesn't seem to shed any new light on looking at, on viewing the status of the skin of tails. For Rav Chisda, it's true. According to Rav Chisda, I need an additional source. Sakka daita chamina. I might have thought this idea that the or alya is considered like the meat, hani mili the inyan tuma, de rochich mitstarev. With regard to tuma, since the skin is soft, it is considered like the meat, and therefore mitstarev means that if I have a quantity of meat that's less than the shiur of tumah, and I have some skin of the tail as well, if I add the two together, I'll have the necessary quantity for tumah purposes. So I say that since the skin is soft, it's mitzareif to the meat. So as far as tumah is concerned, that I would understand. Aval hocha, but here with regard to kodshim, with regard to korbonos and halochas that apply to korbonos, emo, I might have thought, without having our Mishnah, I might have thought, lemoshcha legdula. The posuk says, lemoshcha. And the interpretation of the word lemoshcha that's found in the posuk, the Pasuk says, and Rashi quotes this Pasuk, he says, the Pasuk itself in Bamidbar Yud Ches says, L'chol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, l'chol nesatim l'moshcha. I've given the korbonos of Am Yisrael to the Kehanim, and it says in the Pasuk, l'moshcha, and that's interpreted to mean l'gedula, as a sign of importance. And we understand from that, k'derech shehamlochim oichlim, that korbonos are eaten in the way that kings eat their meals. V'lo avidi melochim de'achli hochi. Kings don't eat their meat together with the skin. So, emo lo, I would have thought that if he had a machshava concerning the eating of the skin, that's not considered a significant enough thought, because he's thinking about eating something that is generally not eaten by kings. And therefore, since it's not eaten by kings, I would have thought without our Mishnah that it doesn't constitute a machsheves achila. Komash malon, therefore we need our Mishnah as well to teach that the or ha'alya has a din of the alya. And as Rav Chisda learned the Mishnah, he said that the reason that the or ha'alya in our Mishnah is considered a machsheves achila is because we're talking about the or ha'alya of a gedi, which is something that is eaten and not put on the mizbeach to begin with. At this point, the Gemara has a long question. You can see the length of this question is indicated by the long question marking, the kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line. All of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this long vertical line constitute the question. If one glances down to the lower part of this long question, one will see right after the Tanaic source that appears in a frame, one will see that the Gemara says, Bishamo l'Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna's approach, this source won't pose any problem. But according to Rav Chisda, we will have a question. So, in brief, this is a question focused against Rav Chisda. Meisvei. Hashochet es ha'ola, one who slaughtered an ola sacrifice. Lahaktir bas kezayas meor shetachas ha'alya. Chutz limekomo posul vein bo kores chutz lizmano pigu v'chayovim olov kores. He shechted this ola sacrifice with an incorrect mindset, either to offer a kezayas of the skin under the tail in the wrong place, and if he does that, the korban is ruined, but there's no koreis penalty. If he had intention of offering the kezias of the or ha'alya at the wrong time, chutz lizmano, that would result in the korban becoming pigul. The example that we're talking about right now, just to repeat, we're talking about offering a kezias amount, a kezias quantity of or ha'alya. Elozar ben Yehuda ish avelim omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov v'chein hoy Rabbi Shimon Yehuda ish kfar ikus omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. There are additional examples, but this part of the Mishnah is some of these examples are not immediately relevant to our sugya, because our sugya is featuring the or ha'alya. They cite here or beis haprosos behemadaka, the skin on the feet of a of behemadaka includes sheep and goats. The echod or horoish shel gedi harach shel egel harach, or the skin of the head of a young calf. The echod or shetachas alya, and whether it be the skin under the tail. The chol she monu chachomim gabitumo v'elu sherosein kibasoram, and all other examples of skins that are treated as flesh in the context of tuma that we mentioned before. This would include lahavi or shel beis haboshes, including the skin of the beis haboshes area of the animal. If one has intentions of chutz limkomo, posel v'ein bo kores, chutz lizmano, pigul v'chayavim alov kores. As far as this source is concerned, what's the example that was given? The oilo in, avol zevach loi. If one had these incorrect mindsets concerning a korban ola. Now, a korban ola is something that's completely burnt on the mizbeach. In other words, as opposed to other korbanos where the meat is eaten either by the kohanim or by the owners that bring the korban, in the case of an ola, all of it is offered on the mizbeach. But by another korban, the example here would not hold. In other words, a machshava to offer, lahaktir, which was the example cited in this source. We dashed underlined the word ola, and we dot underlined at the beginning of the source the word lahaktir. A machshava concerning the lahaktoras, the offering on the mizbeach, concerning the or ha'alya of another korban, would not be of any consequence. Once again, only because we're talking about an ola can I also feature as an example the offering of the on the mizbeach of the or ha'alya. Bishlamo l'Rav Huna, hainu dekotoni oila. According to Rav Huna, that holds that or ha'alya is not considered like the alya with regard to haktora, that if you have a sheep, for example, the alya would be placed on the mizbeach, but the or ha'alya is not like the alya. The or ha'alya is, generally speaking, eaten, is consumed by people. Therefore, would you be maktir such a thing? No, unless you're talking about a korban oila. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo l'Rav Huna, that classified or ha'alya as not having the din of the alya regarding haktorah, hainu dekotoni ola. That's why this source cited as an example a korban ola, that only by a korban ola would the or ha'alya be shayich, relevant to the realm of haktorah, of offering on the mizbeach. Elo l'Rav Chista, that or ha'alya is the same din as the alya, and that in the case of the alya, the or ha'alya of a keves, I would maktir it no matter what kind of korban, just like the alya is always offered when you're offering a sheep, whether the sheep is a korban oila or the sheep is a korban shlomim, or it's a korban chatos, you're always going to place the or ha'alya on the mizbeach, according to Rav Chisda. My irya detoni oila. Why does this source feature as its example a korban oila? Listni zevach. It could have read as follows. It could have read one who shechts a zevach to be tamaktir the or ha'alya chutz lezmano or chutz lemakomo. Why does the source, according to Rav Chisda, feature specifically an ola? Omar loch Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda will answer. E boyes emo ba'alya shel gedi. This source is talking about an alya of a gedi. Now, the alya of a gedi is something that is not, is something that's not offered. It's eaten. Unless, of course, you're talking about a korban ola. So, since the source is featuring, when it uses an example, it talks about an alya, it's talking about the alya of a goat, the tail of a goat, that's something that's eaten, not offered, unless you're talking about an ola. The boy says, well, toni zevach. Another approach is, instead of citing as an example in the source ola, restate the source, inserting the word zevach. And then you could talk about the haktora of the or ha'alya, of a keves tail, whose, according to Rav Chisda, or ha'alya is ka'alya. Therefore, the skin of the keves tail is also offered, and that would be the case in every korban. And that's why we are suggesting here to reread the source. Instead of citing, limiting ourselves to an ola, you can expand it to include all zvochim. Posul v'ein bo kores. In our Mishnah, we made a distinction between chutz lezmano and chutz lemkomo. Chutz lemkomo was described just as that. Posul, the korban is ruined. However, if one eventually eats the meat of such a korban that was processed with a chutz lemkomo mindset, that does not carry with it a kores penalty. Kores is a severe punishment that's ordained by heaven. Chutz lizmano, on the other hand, carries with it a kores penalty. Mino hanimili, from where do we know to make this distinction? Before going on in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading and structural note that you find on the outside margin. We call it nose, the topic, mivne, the structure. We have a trapezoid form, sometimes referred to as a volcano shape, and we see them in our Gemara. Shlavim limtsoi mokor. Stages in attempting to find a source. Derak chutz lizmano chayev kores, ma she'en kein chutz limkoimoi, davi posul v'eino chayev v'kores. As we look on in the Gemara, if we scan down Chav Ches Omid Beis, and it was Omid Beis of this daf, we'll notice we will be numbering up to four approaches. The fourth stage will be drawing on what we say at the first stage. By general overview, we ought to note that the Gemara will be citing Psukim from Vayikra Perek Zayin, and later the Gemara will be citing Psukim from Vayikra Perek Yud Tes. And in these different parts of the Torah, there are references to these Isurim of the eating of a korban that was processed chutz lizmano, chutz lemkomo. We will also touch on another Isur in the course of our discussion, and that's the Isur known as Nosar, of meat that was left over beyond its ordained time for consumption, allotted time for consumption. If it's left over beyond the Torah allotted time, it becomes forbidden. And this idea or this phenomenon of Nosar is not related to Machshava, it's not related to incorrect mind, but it is related to issue of time. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Trei Kroi Ksivi. There are two references in Psukim. One a reference to Chutz Lizmano, and one a reference to Chutz Limkomo. And that will be the basis of our making a distinction between the two. My he, the Gemara asks, what are you referring to when you say there are two scriptural references? So before we go on in the Gemara will be drawing on a posuk Vayikra, Perek Zayin posuk Yudches. We've included this posuk in the margin of the Gemara. Vayikra Zayin posuk Yudches. Let's read it first. Ve'im he'achol ye'ocheo mibsar zevach shlomov v'yom ha'shlishi lo yiratzeh ha'makri v'yso lo yechoshev lo pigul yiyeh v'anefesh ho'echeles mimenu avona tisa. This posuk will be cited quite extensively as we go on in the Gemara itself. So, turning to the Gemara, Omar Rabba Shlishi. There was a reference in the posuk we just read that said that one who eats from the psar zevach shlomo biyom hashlishi. That word hashlishi, zehu chutz lizmano. That's a reference to eating the. That's a reference to the idea of wrong time, incorrect time. We're talking, of course, about one who processes a korban with the intention of eating or being maktir it at outside of the allotted time. Pigul, which is another word found in the pasuk, zehu chutz limkoimoi. That has to do with a incorrect machshava concerning place, thinking to either eat the meat or offer the sacrifice up outside the allotted places. V'hanefesh ha'ocheles mimenu. The pasuk says that the person that eats from it, the pasuk goes on to say avona tisa, which is a reference to kores. That how you know that's a reference to kores, that has its own source, but we'll work with that given. So the pasuk says anefesh ocheles mimenu, and it goes on to say avona tisa. The word mimenu is a limitation expression. Echad velo shnayim. One of the cases featured, and not in both of the cases. So what's the one case that the kores penalty will apply to? Zehu chutz lizmanoi. Vilim ute chutz limkoimoi. This is a reference to the machshava concerning incorrect time, but not regarding incorrect place. The emo of anefesh ochels mimenu zeu chutz limkomo v'lem ute chutz lizmano. Why not take the same pasuk? And since both examples were alluded to in the pasuk, namely chutz lizmano chutz limkomo, and we have a limitation expression, let us say that the penalty of kores is limited to chutz limkomo to the exclusion of chutz lizmano. So the Gemara answers, mistabro chutz lizmano odif. It's most likely that the emphasis of penalty, the severe penalty, is imposed on chutz lizmano de posach bay, because that was the first of the two examples cited in the pasuk. It was the opener. Adarabo, to the contrary, chutz limkomo odif de samechle. Why not say that if the pasuk is choosing one of the examples to bear the kores penalty, let it be the chutz limakomo example, which is right next to this, which is closer in proximity to this point in the pasuk that says vanefesh ochels mimenu, the one that eats from it. From what? From what, you'll say? From that which was just cited, namely chutz limakomo, which is in closer proximity. Therefore, from Rabbo's approach, it's hard for us to define that it's specifically chutz lizmano is the example that carries with it the kores penalty to the exclusion of chutz limkomo, which is what our Mishnah had taught. So where do we know this from? Elo Omar Abaye, ki also Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi, Omar, Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi said over the following. Rabbo somich ad toni tana. In our number one stage, we opened up the Gemara with Rabba, And Rav Yitzchok clarifies, as Abaye tells us, Rav Yitzchok clarifies Rabba's position, what he was based on. So Rabba, Samech Adetoni Tana, Rabba is based on the following Tanaic source. The source opens up with a citation from Vayikra Yutes Posuk Zayin, which will henceforth be referred to as Kra Zuta, the small Posuk, the short Posuk. We've also included this in the margin of our Gemara, of our pre-marked Shas Ozer that you see on the screen, or some of you may actually have a personal volume that you've ordered. It says in Vayikra Yutes, V'im he'achol ye'ochel b'yom hashlishi, pigol hu lo ye'rotze. So let's continue now in the source. Kishuhu omer shlishi b'parshas kedoshim tihyu. The pasuk there mentions shlishi. She'ein talmud lomar. I don't really need it to be said again. Sharei kfar ne'emar v'im he'achol ye'ochel mipsar zevach shlomov b'yom hashlishi. It's already been taught in Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Yudches. Im eino inyan l'chutz lizmano. If Vayikra Yutes is not necessary for the teaching of chutz lizmano, teneu le'inyan chutz limukoymoi. Umiet rachmona gabi noisor, the ochlov avono yisa, limute chutz limkomo. This source just told us that the posuk in Vayikra Yutes is not need to teach about chutz lizmano, because that was taught in Vayikra Zayin. Therefore, even though the words indicate one thing, but through the power of the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, we know that the expression shlishi is a reference to chutz limkomo. Now, when you're focused on Vayikra Yutes, it says in that posuk, the oichlov avono yisaw, and the one who eats of it, this, we should mention, this is posuk ches, which is coming right after the posuk that cited chutz limkomo in the form of yom hashlishi. So the next posuk has features the penalty of kores with a limitation. And the limitation is saying that the one who eats it, this is a reference to nosar. Nosar is meat that was left over, having nothing to do with incorrect mindsets. It's a different iser. And this was featured in those psukim in Vayikra Yutes. We've included them on the side of your Gemara. Let's go over them, and then we'll come back to the source and appreciate it with a little more clarity. So you can see that we've written on the side of the Gemara Vayikra Yutes, starting with Pasuk Hey. V'chi sizbuchu zevach shlomim l'ashem, l'rtzoinchem tizbuchuhu. When you offer a korban shlomim, it should be done l'rtzoinchem. Pasuk Vav, b'yoyim zivchachem ye'ochel, umimocharos. On the day you slaughter it, you have an opportunity to eat that meat, and the next day as well, namely 2 days, including the intervening night. V'hanoysor ad yoyim hashlishi bo'esh yisareif. And that meat which is left over till the third day shall be burnt in the fire. V'im he'achol, now we're citing posuk Zayin, which is the posuk that this source opened up with. V'im he'achol ye'ochel b'yoyim hashlishi bo'esh yisareif. Without translating the posuk, because the Brisa told us that it's an eino inyan situation. So we have to say that this pasuk is a reference to a korban that was processed with a machshav of chutz limkoymoi. So if you have a korban like that, so it shall be burnt. And now pasuk ches goes on to say, bearing in mind that in the last couple psukim we saw a reference to nosor and chutz limkomo. Nosor is meat that was simply left over without anything to do with incorrect mindsets. And the case of chutz limkomo, which is a reference to a korban sacrificed with an incorrect mindset with regard to place. And Pasuk Ches says, V'oichlov, the one who eats of it, the word of it is a limitation, eats of one of them, one of the two Isurim we mentioned, Avono Yisa, he will be Chayev Kores. So the source mentions, let's reread the source at the from the top of the page, Im Eino Inyan L'chutz L'zmano, if the Pasuk in Vayikra Yutes is not relevant to Chutz L'zmano, Teneu L'inyan Chutz L'mkomo. We will ascribe the Pasuk in Perek Yutes Pasuk Zayin, to a problem of Chutz L'mkomo. Umiyet Rachmona Gabi Nosar, and the Torah has a limitation with regard to Nosar, namely the penalty of Kores is limited to Nosar, and not to Chutz L'mkomo, whereby the Pasuk says, the Ochlov Avono Yisah, the one who eats of it, of the Nosar, he will be Chayev Kores, Limute Chutz L'mkomo, to the exclusion of Chutz L'mkomo, which will not be Chayev Kores. This is exactly what we've been looking for. Where is there a source that suggests a distinction? The Gemara asks, V'eimo V'eichlov Avono Yisozeo Chutz L'mkomo V'lmute Noiser Mikores. Maybe we should suggest just the opposite. Before we go any further, let's also take note of the geometric forms that we have. We have a triangle whose point is at times facing up and flips over, and you'll see it does this, flips back and forth, and this is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. So with the point facing up, hatsa'ol, suggestions, and with the point facing down, a rejection. And these triangles will continue down more than halfway down the page. So we have a hatsa'a, suggestion, that maybe the limitation of kores is to chutz l'mkomo, and we exclude nosar from kores. The Gemara answers with a rejection of that suggestion. Mistabro noisor havele leukume bekores. It's more likely that nosar is to be established as bearing the kores penalty. Lemigmar ovoin ovoin lechutz lizmano, whereby I will then be able to learn a gezeira shava between Nosar and Chutz Lizmano to establish Chutz Lizmano as also bearing a Kores penalty. De domi le, this is an abbreviated expression, the Zion Beis, which refers to Zman and Boma, where we will be able to say that Chutz Lizmano is to be learned from Kores, from Nosar, and thereby bearing a Kores penalty, and not to learn an Avon Gezeira Shava between Chutz Lizmanoi and Tuma. That's a separate realm that has to do with eating Bosar Korbonos, eating the meat of Korbonos, while the meat is Tome. That is an Avera, but it does not carry with it a Kores penalty. So, if we have an issue, and the issue is Chutz Lizmano, am I going to learn Chutz Lizmano from Nosar, or am I going to learn Chutz Lizmano from Tumas Bosar? If I learn Chutz Lizmano from Nosar, I will thereby be able to say that Chutz Lizmano will bear a Kores penalty like Nosar does, and I will not compare Chutz Lizmano to Tuma, to Tumas Bosar, which would have resulted in Chutz Lizmano not having a Kores penalty. And why will I choose to compare chutz lizmano, specifically to Nosar and not to the realm of Tumas Bosar? That's because chutz lizmano and Nosar have this in common. Zman, they're both issues of time. In the case of chutz lizmano, it's a machshav, it's a mind, it's a thought concerning incorrect time, and Nosar is meat whose time lapsed. Boma is an issue concerning offerings on altars outside the Beis HaMikdash. That in the case of Nosar and Chutz Lizmano, those are both problematic. They have that in common, that by a Boma, that when one sacrifices at a Boma, one is not to have incorrect minds, thoughts concerning time, and meat that's slaughtered and offered at a Boma. We should mention there was a period in time when Bomos, when these personal altars were allowed, and even though they were allowed, there were certain halachic restrictions, and those included Nosar and incorrect thoughts concerning time. So that we would be able to make the Gzeira Shava if you assume that Nosar bears Kores, that will enable us to parallel Chutz Lizmano to Nosar, as opposed to paralleling Chutz Lizmano to Tumas Bosar, even though in the case of Tumas Bosar the word Avon also appears. So at this point the feeling is that Nosar, as opposed to Chutz L'Mekomo, Nosar should be the one that bears the Kores penalty, as opposed to Chutz L'Mekomo. Because if we were to say that Chutz L'Mekomo was the one that bore the Kores penalty, then I wouldn't be able to parallel Chutz Lizmano to Chutz L'Mekomo any better than I would be able to parallel Chutz Lizmano to Tumas Bosar. And if we would parallel Chutz Lizmano to Tumas Bosar, I would then come out saying that Chutz Lizmano would not have a Kores penalty. The Gemara goes on to say, Adarabba, Chutz L'Mekomo havile l'ukmi b'Kores, l'migmar avoin avoin l'chutz Lizmano, the dummy lay the mikdash. And with that, I would exclude the comparison of Chutz Lizmano to the realm of Tumas Bosar. Once again, if our whole concern is being able to parallel Chutz Lizmano to something that carries with it a penalty of Kores, in order for me to suggest that I will not compare Chutz Lizmano to the realm of Tumas Bosar, I won't lose anything by labeling the Kores penalty and associating it with Chutz L'Mekomo to the exclusion of Nosar. And as far as the parallel of Tuma of Chutz Lizmano to Chutz L'Mekomo, I can still do that and not compare Chutz Lizmano to Tumas Bosar, because the amount of things in common between Chutz L'Mekomo and Chutz Lizmano are much more than anything that Chutz Lizmano has in common with Tumas Bosar. These are abbreviated by the term Mikdash. Rashi explains each one of the terms. Both Chutz Lizmano and Chutz L'Mekomo are matters of thought. That's the Mem. The kuf is associated with miktsaso, Rashi points out, that if one thought on part of the korban, it ruins the entire korban, which is not the same case with regard to tumo. The dalet of the word mikdash is a reference to dam, that both of them, chutz lizmano and chutz l'mekomo, are problems that arise during the processing of the blood of the korban. And the shin is a reference to the word shlishi, that in both of them, chutz lizmano and chutz l'mekomo, the word shlishi appears, which is not the case by Tumas Bosar. So after all is said and done, it's not so clear from here that Nosar is the benefit, if you will, of the Kores penalty to the exclusion of Chutzlim Komo, which is what we were looking for. It might be the opposite. It might be that Chutzlim Komo, in fact, bears the Kores penalty. This entire Gemara we tried to capture in a schematic fashion. As you can see, we've included this in the margin of the Gemara. We've entitled this Ma Chayev B'Kores. What is Chayev Kores? Is it Nosar or Chutzlim Komo? We know that there is a Gezerah Shava that appears, using the word Avon, between either Nosar and Chutzlim Komo to Chutzlizmano, because we know that by Chutzlizmano the word Avon appears. There's a challenging Gezerah Shava that extends from Tumas Bosar to Chutzlizmano, and you can see that's indicated also with the arrows. And by Tumas Bosar, there is no penalty of Kores. We've included a little explanation. The Aleph under this scheme parallels the Aleph on the chart. Im mikan nasis hagzereshava. If the gzereshava is made from the upper level, then chutz lizmano yehei bekores. If the gzereshava of avon is made either between Noser and chutzlim komo, so chutz lizmano will become chayev bekores. However, if you focus on the bays level of this chart, if you make the gzeirah shava between, we wrote here im mikan mitumas bosar. If the gzeirah shava of avon is made between tumas bosar and chutz lizmano, oz chutz lizmano lo yehi bekores. So as the Gemara explained, the issue is chutz lizmano closer to tumas bosar, or is it closer to either Noisar or Chutzlim Komo? That was already part of the Gemara's discussion. But as we said, after all is said and done, it may very well be that we would be able to label Chutzlim Komo as carrying the penalty of Kores with it, and not Noisar. And if that's the case, so I haven't demonstrated that Chutz Lizmano is unique in that it alone bears Kores, it may be that Chutzlim Komo also bears a Kores penalty. And we're trying to find a source for making a distinction. All of this is explained, all of the approach that the Gemara took in the last few lines is found in the Rashi. Let's continue in the Gemara. The third stage. Elo Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Toni Zavdi Bar Levi. Asyo Kodesh Kodesh. Zavdi Bar Levi brings a Tanaic source that uses a Gezerah Shava between the words Kodesh. Ksiv Hocha Ki Es Kodesh Hashem Chileil V'Nichrusa. That's the Pasuk in Vayikra Yud Tes Pasuk Ches. Uksiv Hosam Vesarafto Es HaNoisor Bo'esh Ki Kodesh Hu. Ma Lahalo Noisor Af Kan Noisor. Af Kan, namely in the Pasuk featuring Kores, in the Pasuk featuring V'Nichrusa, you saw the word Kodesh. That's a reference to Nosar. Umiyet Rachmona Gabi Nosar, and the Posuk in Posuk Ches says, V'ochlov Avono Yisa, the one that eats it, namely the Nosar Avono Yisa, which means Kores. This limitation is Limute Chutzlim Koimoi Mikores. This is to the exclusion of Chutzlim Koma, which will not receive Kores. Of course, this limud is premised on the idea that was mentioned before, that the posuk in Vayikro Yutes, posuk Zayin, was an issue of chutzlum komo. So when you look at psukim Zayin and Ches, we see a reference to two offenses, one of chutzlum komo and the reference made to nosar, and in posuk Ches there's a limitation expression that only one of them will bear the kores penalty, and since in that particular posuk kodesh the word kodesh appears, and we know that that's a reference to nosar, so I see that nosar is the one that has kores and not chutz limkoimoi. The Gemara asks, umay chozis dekro aricha b'chutz lizmano ushlishi de parshas kedoshim tiyu chutz limkomo. From where do you know, from where are you so certain that the posuk in Vayikra Zayin is a reference to chutz lizmano, and the word shlishi that appears in Vayikra Yutes, which is in Parshas Kedoshim Tiyu, is a reference to chutz limkomo? So the more Epo Chano, maybe we should switch them around. And if we do that, you'll end up saying that chutz, that only nosor bears kores and not chutz lizmano. So more answers. Mistabro aricha b'chutz lizmano. It's most likely that posuk is the Vayikra Perek Zayin, which is called the Kro Aricha, the long posuk, that's referring to chutz lizmano. The Gomar ovoin minoisar the domi lay, because you have between you have the gzeiros shava possibility between nosar, which we saw the word avono you saw already, and in posuk perik in perik zayin posuk yudches the end of the posuk said avona tisa. So it's more likely for us to establish the Kro Aricha as Chutz Lizmano, and thereby establish a Gzeira Shava between Chutz Lizmano and Nosar. And why is it more likely that Chutz Lizmano will be associated with Nosar and not Chutz Limkomo? So that's what the Gemara says here. The Domile Bezav. Let's read that line again. Mistabra aricha b'chutz lizmano, de gomar ovoin ovoin minoisar, de domile bezav. That since there is a gzera shava between, that means a word comparison between Vayikra Zayin and Vayikra Yutes, and Vayikra Zayin, we are suggesting, is a reference to chutz lizmano, because it is more closely related to Nosar in that both of them have issues of Zayin, is Zman, and Beis, Boma, as we described in the Gemara earlier. Of course, when you're talking about a Boma, there's no issue of Chutz Limkomo because a Boma has no specific location, so you can't talk about outside its place. The Gemara asks, Adarabo, Aricha b'Chutz Limkomo. I could set up the Posuk in Perek Zayin, the long pasuk, as referring to chutz limkomo, ushlishi the kedoshim tiu bechutz lizmano, and set up the short pasuk in Vayikra Yutes as a reference to chutz lizmano, and in Vayikra Yutes you also have a reference to nosar, mishum de domi le samche, because both of them, chutz lizmano and nosar, are similar to each other, both, as we said, time-related and boma-associated. V'komimayit lei. And if I say that Vayikra Yutes features chutz lizmano, and it's taught together with nosar, and there was a limitation in Vayikra Yutes saying that nosar alone is chayav kores, I would then be saying nosar and not chutz lizmano if I set it up like that. So if we get to this point, then we have not accomplished what we're looking for. Stage 4. Elo Omar Rovo. Kulu mikro aricho asyon. Like Rabbo did at the beginning of the Gemara, all of these, namely chutz lizmano and chutz lemukomo, are referenced in Vayikra Zion, the kro aricho. And as we go on in the Gemara, we see a double underline, which is one of our series markings. You'll notice we have a Mivneh heading in the margin, and we've noted Hadgoshas Chelkei HaPosuk VaYikra Zayin Posuk Chesdis. These will be quotes from the Posuk in VaYikra Zayin. The Posuk said, Heochol Yeochel B'shtei Achilos HaKosu Medaber is a double expression. It's a reference to two types of consumption. Echad achilas odom ve'echad achilas mizbeach. Human consumption, where people eat the meat, and that which is consumed by the mizbeach, which is offered on the mizbeach. Mipsar zevach shlomov. In this pasuk, there's a term, shlomim is mentioned, and zevach, a reference to other korbonos. Ma shlomim mifaglin umispaglin. Just like by shlomim, there is that which you are mefagel through, and there are things that become victim of the pigul. So too, af kol mefaglin umispaglin. To appreciate this expression a little more, we glance at the Rashi. Second line, of the widest lines, under the Tosfos, mipsar zevach shlomov, hikish zvochim l'shlomim. The Torah compares other korbanos to shlomim. Ma shlomim yesh bohem mefaglin v'yesh bohem mispaglin. Shehadam hu hamefagel. The blood is the mefagel, meaning that while you're doing procedures with the blood, you have one may have this incorrect mindset, which is called mefagel. V'abosar v'emurim mispaglin. The meat and the innards are the victim, so to speak, of the incorrect mindset. Which means that if one has an incorrect thought while processing the dam, he will then be forbidden from eating the meat or from offering the innards after the incorrect mindset that was a thought expressed while processing the blood. Continuing. Shlishi. Ze chutz lizmanoi. Lo yerotze. Kahartsoas kosher, kahartsoas posel. In the same way that a korban is accepted, so too, hartsoas posel means so too a korban will become posel provided all of the other procedures were done properly. Uma hartsoas kosher achi akrivu komatirov. And just like a korban is not acceptable until all of the stages are completed, af hartzos posel ad sheakrivu kol matirov. So too, a korban is not labeled as pigul until all of the stages have been completed. For further information on that, we glance at the Rashi. Rashi dibur masul lo yerotzeh. Mashma de azrika koi, that we're talking about the sprinkling of the dam. The main atonement afforded by a korban, the ritsui, is at the point of sprinkling of the dam. So Rashi says, Mashma de azrika koi, lo tehe zrika zu meratze, shma mino, de ad shizrak adam, machsheves pigul tluy v'medes, until he reaches the sprinkling of the blood stage. The definition of the korban as becoming pigul is dependent. In other words, it's waiting in the balance until zrika takes place. Nizrak hadam hukba bapigul. In other words, if a korban was slaughtered with an incorrect mindset, it doesn't become officially labeled as pigul until zrika sadam. Lo nizrak adam kagon shenishbach. Let's say that the korban was slaughtered with an incorrect mindset with regard to the time for eating the meat. He thinks to eat the meat beyond the appropriate time. If the blood spills out, Botel ha-pigol. The pigol will not take hold. Dichtiv bei hartzah. The word ritzui appears in the context of pigol kidichtiv gabi kosher, just like it appears in a properly offered sacrifice. And just like in a properly offered sacrifice, it does not become mutter until Zrikas Adam takes place, so too in the case of pigol, it doesn't become labeled as pigol until Zrikas Adam takes place. Another point we want to see in Rashi, the next Rashi, Ma Hartzoas Kosher, Lo Kori Le Hartzo Elabiz Rikosh, Usof Arba Vodos, or Matiros. The korban is not called Hartzo, meaning offered for appeasement purposes, until all four Avodos are completed. The Avodos HaMatiros, which include the Shechita, the Kabbalah Hilochen Zrika, Af Pigol Eino Kavu Ad Shizur Kadam Shehi Sof Kol Matirov. Continuing in the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, Hamakriv, that's from the Pasuk, V'hakrova hu nifsal, V'eino nifsal b'shlishi. That means that the Pasuk is describing a problem that is that takes place while it's being offered, while it's being sacrificed. And we're not talking about something that we're not talking about a problem as a result of lapse of time per se. In simple words, the Pasuk is not talking about Nosar. What is the Pasuk describing? It's describing an incorrect mindset while it's being offered. However, let us say a person offered a korban in a proper fashion and simply left the meat over till the third day, which is beyond the time limits of eating any korban. The halacha here is telling us it does not become ruined retroactively. That once the korban was offered properly, then it's considered fulfilled. True, the meat becomes usur to consume after the proper time has lapsed, but that does not have any retroactive effect on the offering of the korban and the owner's fulfillment of his obligations. Oisai, bezevach hakosuv medaber veinu medaber bezoveach. The one who offers a sacrifice with an incorrect mindset, the animal, the korban, is ruined, but the kohen who does it is not rejected from serving as a kohen in the future. It's true he did something incorrect, but it's not sufficient grounds for rendering him unfit. Lo yechoshev. This is explained. Lo yeerov boy. Lo ya'arev boy machshavoy sacheros. Glancing at Rashi at the top, lo ya'arev boy machshavoy sacheros, which means one does not, or one should not mix in other incorrect thoughts. Mikan lemachshavoy shemoitziyu zu mizu. Shemachsheves psul moitziyu midei pigol. If at a subsequent stage of the offering of a sacrifice, after he already had an incorrect mindset with regard to time, if at a subsequent stage he had an incorrect mindset with regard to place, that would cancel the initial mindset from taking effect. It would cancel it. Namely, if he started off the sacrifice slaughtering it with the intent to eat the meat on the third day, that would set into motion it becoming pigol, and if the rest of the sacrifice is processed without any further thoughts, it would become pigol. And if one eats the meat, he'll be chayef kores. What happens if after the slaughtering he comes to the kabbalas adam and he says, I'm mekabel the dam, I'm receiving the blood with the intention of eating the meat outside of Yerushalayim? That's a chutz l'mekomo machshava. What would happen at that point is the korban is puzzle, but that which was set into motion initially, the chutz lizmano mindset, would thereby be halted, and eventually, if one would eat the meat of that korban, there would be no kores penalty, because the kores penalty, the chutz lizmano mindset, was canceled by the subsequent additional incorrect thought, incorrect different thought, we might add. This entire topic is, in fact, the subject of the Mishnah that appears on Daf Choftes Omid Beis. Turning back to the Gemara, Pigul. We're still breaking down the Pasuk in Vayikra Zayin, and the word Pigul appears there. Ze chutz limkoimoi. That's a reference to an incorrect mind thought regarding place. Yeah. Melamed shemitstarfim ze im ze, that a chatzi zayas, a half an olive quantity, with an incorrect mindset concerning time, and a chatzi zayas concerning makomo, would add up to be a full kezayas. In other words, if a person shechted the korban with the intention of eating a chatzi zayas chutz l'makomo and a chatzi zayas chutz l'zmano, the korban would be posel. It certainly can be assumed that if one had a machshava of less than a shiur zayas, it wouldn't ruin the korban. But we're saying here that a partial quantity of chutz limakomo and a partial quantity of chutz lizmano add up, and this korban is now labeled as having been offered with a pasul machshava. Vanefesh ocheles mimenu, this was a limitation expression, mimenu, from it. From what? We had in this pasuk citations concerning chutz lizmano and chutz limakomo. So this limitation is echod velo shnayim, one, only one and not two. Ze chutz lizmano, the one that will bear the sin, will be the, as the pasuk says, avono yisa, that will be the chutz lizmano. The gomar avon minosar, because we know by nosar there's a chiyuv kores, and we know by nosar the word avon appears, and now the question is what in this pasuk is compared to avon through the gezeirah shofa. Which should I choose to compare to nosar? I choose to compare chutz lizmano de domi lei bezav, because chutz lizmano has in common with nosar these two elements. They're both zayin, means zman oriented, and beis, they're both problems with regard to aboma. So that being said, I compare chutz lizmano to nosar, and in this posuk, I also have a limitation saying that only chutz lizmano carries with it the kores penalty, and not the chutz limakomo. That once again is, as the posuk says, avono yisa. Omalei rav popo l'rova. Lididcha shlishi de parshas kedoshim tiyu my darshis bay. Rava, who was the last approach, said that everything is learned from everything, meaning chutz lizmano and chutz l'makomo, and the fact that chutz lizmano is the only one that it carries with it kores is all derived from pasuk from perek zayin. What does he do with the word shlishi that appeared in Vayikra Yutes? Answer: Hahu miboya lei. He uses it to explain when is chutz limkomo a problem, when one thinks to either eat the meat or offer a korban in a place that when bomos were mutter, there also would have been dam and boser and emurim, namely there would be a zrikas adam, and there would be achilas basar, and the offering of emurim. That is to the exclusion of another kind of chutz limkomo mindset, namely one who slaughtered, let us say, a korban with the intention of eating the meat in the heichal. The Heichal is not a mokum mishulosh bedam bebosar rigurim. It is true that in the Heichal there were zrikos adam, but in the Heichal there were never haktoras emurim. Therefore, what have we just said? That the word shlishi in Perek Yutes tells me when is a machshava of chutz l'mokim a binding machshava. That's if his mindset was concerning incorrect place other than thinking to eat the meat or do the zrikas adam in the Heichal. The Gemara asks, Teipuk li mikro kamo? Why not learn this idea from the first pasuk, the kro kamo, which said im heochol yeochel, from that first pasuk, which was in Vayikra Zayin, midaafke rachmona b'loshon shlishi, from the fact that the pasuk chose the word shlishi in describing chutz lizmano, but it chose that word, it used specifically that word shlishi, I could have darshan from there this idea of mokom mishulosh, that kind of place that had all three elements, which we said before was a reference to outside the Beis HaMikdash, which was a time that all three elements were present when bamos were allowed. Omar Rav Ashi, Amriso l'shmaitze kameder Rav Matana. Rav Ashi says, I said this over to Rav Matana, Omalei, imehosam, and he answered, he says, if you would rely on that posuk, havamino, I would have thought, shlishi prat, that shlishi is a detail, which is memayit the heichal, pigul, klal, and the word pigul is a general expression, venase klal, moisif al haprat, whenever you have a situation of this type of scriptural structure of detail and then generals called prat uklal, the israbu sha'ar makoimois, and I would thereby include all places. Therefore, on komash molon, therefore, we're telling you don't rely on posuk, the posuk found in Vayikra Zion for establishing mokum mishulosh, but rather learn from posuk. From the pasuk found in Perek Yud Tes. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.